Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 187. I'm Tim Elliott, and I'm on with Graham Thickens.
Hello from Bloomington.
And Phil Wilson.
Good morning. You kind of had a light of a little British accent there,
I don't know where that came from.
I was going to say,
as I told you at the reception the other night, weren't we talking about how I'm a subject of the Queen?
That's right. You did tell me that.
Born in the Commonwealth.
Yes, born in the Commonwealth. And, you know, everybody sees my name. I have more Brits that follow me on Twitter. They see my name. They think I'm one of them, you know. It's crazy, you know. And then they find out I'm an American and, whatever.
Do you get special treatment when you take the road trip up to Winnipeg?
You know, I've never done that, but I bet I would. I was telling somebody I hardly ever see the name Graham ever in the United States until I met one guy locally here that has that first name. But I said, otherwise, the only time I ever see it is maybe on a Canadian film credit, you know.
Every time I see the name Graham spelled here in the U.S., it's spelled like the cracker. It's not spelled like your name.
Right. Yeah, that's what throws everybody in. So, it's my little cross to bear having to spell my name 20 times a day.
We wanted to start off by talking about the MEMA Summit that we all had a chance to go to earlier this week. I thought it was a great event. What did you guys think?
Oh, yeah. Over the top. I thought it was awesome. The quality of the speakers and the quality of the content, you know, it's always good, but I don't know. Maybe I picked the right sessions. I thought it was especially apropos to what's going on these days. You know, they really worked hard to get good speakers talking about relevant topics. Don't you think, Phil?
I think it could be the best one I've been to, just from a standpoint of, first, the energy was great. I think there was a desire from a lot of people to learn. There were some really great, diverse sessions. And I thought the keynote speakers were good. I think that, Guy Kawasaki's presentation was exceptional. I'm honestly not a huge, huge fan of Guy Kawasaki. I am somewhat of a fan from the Art of the Start days.
Yep.
I was very impressed with his enchantment. I was enchanted with his enchantment keynote.
Yeah, he's an enchanting speaker. I mean, you know, the guy's got it. But I know what you mean. He's been around for such a long time. I mean, this guy has written how many books? I mean, he started out being a star speaker back in the late 90s or the mid 90s.
The late 80s. That's when his first book came
out.
That's
true. Yeah, what was that first book, Living the Dream or something?
No, it was called The Macintosh Way. I still have it. In fact, Guy was gracious enough to autograph it for me several years ago when he was when he played in the pond hockey tournament. He spoke at the U.
I was there.
And I went up right after the talk and just asked him, and he was great. And later on, I got to see him at a party at his house, which was kind of crazy. But
I remember I was telling somebody that you were at his place in Palo Alto, right?
Atherton.
Atherton. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Even better.
I had the opportunity to be at one of his little soirees at South By. He has this annual event that was kind of interesting, kind of fun. But to say that I was at an event, at Guy Kawasaki's event does not necessarily imply I even spoke to the man at that event, because it's a big group. It's not like eight people sitting around a card table. So
he's a popular guy. I've seen him speak at so many events and talk to him, including at the pond hockey thing. But I mean, he fills a room. That guy still is a draw, you know, and people love him. He's just such a fun guy, you know.
Yeah.
Great sense of humor.
What was really interesting about his talk about being enchanting, or the concept of enchantment, was that as he was speaking, he was using basically all the things, all the tactics that he was recommending on being enchanting in the speech. So it was kind of an interesting sort of a ongoing example of what he meant.
Then he threw out the 10-20-30 thing out of left field.
Yeah, we're all going, what? Where did that?
He always has to throw in some greatest hits, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that, like, there's some sort of contractual obligation to include it into every.
Well, no. Gao Kawasaki has written one book. He wrote it called The Macintosh Way, and then he rewrote the same book under different titles.
Yes.
I don't know, six or seven times.
Yes.
So all of his books have the same sort of core to them. And he you know, updates things and changes things around a little bit. But if you read that first book and then you read the current book, there's a lot of similarities.
Oh, yeah. It's sort of the Seth Godin style of writing.
Yeah. Seth is the same kind of same kind of thing. But
And to us content development professionals, we should take inspiration from this. The guy is a master at repurposing content, you know.
So what are you guys going to do with your extra 7.5 minutes of life?
I already spent it drinking at Tech Karaoke.
Went to Tech Karaoke. Good for you.
Michael Roventine talked me into going. It was freaking fantastic. But Roventine never showed up. I mean, I only stayed maybe an hour. But that was so much fun going over to that bar in Northeast. It's called the U Otter Stop In. They call it the Otter.
Yep.
And it's that triangle shaped one, kind of where Central meets Hennepin or whatever that is. And oh my God, all kinds of people showed up. I wasn't expecting, I was expecting 4 or 5 people maybe. And there must have been 20, 30 people just from MEMA Summit.
What did you sing?
Oh, I didn't, but. Guy got up and did that.
Don't they do presentations? Isn't that the gig?
What's that?
Don't they do presentations?
They might, but they didn't while I was there. No, this was, they didn't like reserve the whole place or anything like that. I mean, there were a lot of other people in there, but.
We show up. Everybody just shows up and sings. I've been to them a couple of times. I actually sang.
Okay, because I thought it
I
was.
I sang at one, but I will never do it again. But it was. It's a lot of fun. It really is.
I thought it was they take some PowerPoints you've never seen and they project them up and you're supposed to like ad lib to the PowerPoint.
No.
That sounds funny. That's something Roman team would cook up. I mean, that guy is amazing. You know, I never knew until the happy hour reception that he was a theater major.
He's very theatrical.
Oh my God! At St. Mary's in Winona is where he went to school, and then he got an MBA in arts administration or something. But anyway, yeah, he worked on me. I said, I think I got to go home. I mean, it's late. I got to get home. You know, it's been 12 hours since this thing started. And oh no, you got to come over. You got to come over. And I did, and I wasn't sorry, but I never did see him. I don't know if he faded or what. But
oh, I can't imagine. I'm sure he was singing somewhere. You know, usually probably didn't see him because he was up singing.
Maybe so. Well, you know, it was a lot of fun, though. And the whole day, I mean, was really great from 7:30 a.m. on.
Tim, what was your favorite part of the day?
I like Gad Kawasaki's speech. I thought it was very good and entertaining. And what really kind of surprised me was his love of Android, which I thought was a joke. I was waiting for the punchline. And he really likes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he carries a Galaxy S3 and a Nexus 7, and he's, he didn't necessarily badmouth iPads and iPhones, but he did not, he just said how great the, Android platform was.
Yeah, Phil's got a theory about this, so.
What's the conspiracy? What's the behind the
I'm sorry, the did I say story? This? Did I have this theory at the cocktail party? Because I may not remember it.
But I don't doubt that there might be something to that because I was shocked the fact that maybe Guy has a little relationship with Google.
Oh yeah, that theory that I have is that he's such a fan of Google Plus and now he carries Android devices. It's like I'm thinking, I wonder if we have a relationship.
A little backshe going on.
A
there?
Little, yeah, maybe so.
Or what is that? What is that
backstory?
No.
Yep.
A little what graft?
Backsheesh. Backsheesh isn't what they call it.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Well, it's the kind of stuff that Scoble's always accused of too, and yet he claims, no, my total paycheck comes from Rackspace, and I do I have no compensation from any of these startups. And a lot of people go, yeah, right.
Oh, I'm sure he gets a lot of free stuff. So I'm sure that's the thing with Guy. I mean, there was an article in Gizmodo Australia, which I didn't know they even had such a blog, but they do.
Well, it actually, when you read it, it drains counterclockwise rather than clockwise.
Right. So anyway, they had a little story that he was there for some speech, and he was, again, talking about how he loved his Galaxy S3, and they had a little piece on it. And he just said, you know, it's for all the reasons that he recited the other day, which is, you know, the choices and a lot of new technologies that the iPhone doesn't have, blah, 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 right? And he did say, full disclosure, Samsung gave me this thing, so... I'm sure that has something to do with it, but
he gave Samsung a shout out in his talk too, but you know, remember, he did say he would not give up his MacBook Air for anything.
Well, there's no good alternative there.
No.
But I thought it was great day. Unfortunately, I didn't get able or wasn't able to stay the whole day, but saw quite a bit of it. And well, I agree with you, Phil, I think it was the best that we've ever been at, and we've been doing this thing for what, 5-6 years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So. Well, I got to spend the day. It's always sort of a treat for me. It's sort of a blessing and a curse. I get the opportunity to talk to a lot of the speakers and a lot of, you know, the keynote speakers and the presenters, because we spend all day on the live stream interviewing people in between sessions and that sort of thing. And it's a blessing because I get to talk to these people at length, but it's sort of a curse because I don't get to participate in any of the sessions. And there were some great sessions, but there were a couple of, I just really enjoyed a lot of the people we had the opportunity to talk to on the live stream. And I know that I spoke with Tim Brunell, and there it's probably be about January before all of these videos start popping up, because they really very much like to go through and make sure they're all processed well and edited.
Okay, I was going to ask you if the link was going up.
No, it usually takes a little while, but I was very impressed with a couple of people. This Saraya Darabi, who is the co-founder of Food Spotting, which is an app that you can get, but she's also done some work with ABC News. She's an incredibly young woman who has done a great deal of interesting stuff, and she was talking about emerging media and what's coming up next, and she was very impressive. I thought that I had a chance to talk with Vanessa Fox, who is wrote the book Marketing in the Age of Google, and we talked a lot about SEO and SEM and the changing algorithms. And you know, she said, you know, Google changes algorithms, you know, she said probably like 500 times in a year. You just don't hear about it as much. And I asked her at that point, I said, do you suppose those algorithms, those changes are made more in favor of the consumer or more in favor of Google to help Google really kind of advance their advertising platform? And she thinks that a lot of it really comes down to better targeting advertising and not necessarily user experience. Mm-hmm. But she says she's confident that they keep user experience very much in mind.
Follow the money.
I had a chance to speak with a friend of mine, Tom Webster, who's doing a lot of things in the social space now. Guys, we saw him at what was it, Explore Minnesota?
Oh, Explore Minnesota, Jason Falls event. Yeah,
Jason Falls. Tom's part of that, and we talked a little bit about some of the data and the research of social, and that was very interesting. Peter Shankman was a trip to talk to. If you are at all familiar with Peter in the PR and marketing world, the man is wired beyond belief and just frenetic and all over the place. It was somewhat of a all over the board interview, but that's pretty much, I think, the way Peter is. So,
a blogger or author or agency guy, or what is he?
Yeah, Peter actually founded Harrow, which is the help a reporter out.
I didn't realize he was even there.
Huh. Yeah, so that was some of the highlights, some of the video that'll come out.
You definitely get the award for the hardest working guy of our bunch there. I put in more hours, more hard time but Tim and I sure had fun on the live blog. That was, we'll have to put that link in the show notes.
Yeah,
is that, that's still up, isn't it, Tim?
Absolutely.
And that was the first time we'd used the new WordPress Live Blog plugin.
Yeah, and it worked. It worked pretty well, I thought.
Like a champ. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. The only thing we couldn't do was put in photos or video clips from our iPhones or iPads, but it only supports desktop drag and drop. But Steve was able to put in a couple of nice clips, and Phil got some. You got some photos in early on.
I was able to, but I basically had to, you know, take them from my camera, put them on my laptop, and send them up. So it's, yeah, it was a little bit cumbersome.
It got to be a little tedious. I didn't even try, but yeah, we were obviously on our iPhones and iPads, Tim and I, and the connectivity was touch and go.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's early talk on, about it wasn't great. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit, because I remember 2 or 3 years ago, you know, it was just it was such a mess because of no connectivity. But, you know, connectivity this time was a little sketchy as well, but it didn't seem to be as big of an issue. Do you think that has to do with, was it just, you know, our attitude then, or was it the fact that the speakers didn't necessarily justify the internet hassles, but now this year it did? You know, it was more about the speakers and content than being able to be online?
No, I think it was that we all had, you know, something to fall back on where we didn't right. 4 or 5 years ago. So right. I fell back and I just, I streamed 3G on my phone.
A lot of my
my laptop, and was able to work fine, work great.
Yep. Yeah, you know. Yep. I had a few times when I couldn't post, I even had trouble with my AT&T signal in there on my iPhone. So I was having double trouble for a little while there, but it worked out okay. We got it covered pretty well, and
I thought it went well.
Yeah. Listen, thanks very much to Tim Brunell and everybody at Mima.
Oh, yeah.
To Kristen and Wynn and everybody we had, and Lauren, all the people that we had contact with and coordinating it. We always look forward to the event, and we'll look forward to it again next year.
Yeah, I talked to Tim during the event, and he said he was going to do it again. But, you know, he's president for another year.
Oh, yep. He does have another year left.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Oh, yeah, they do a 2-year stint. So.
Well, no, isn't this his third year?
Yes. Oh, is he going? Oh,
I think
they're
He's going 4 years. Yeah.
He upped for a second term or something like that.
Oh, it does seem like a long time now that you mention it. Yeah, they are having their board meeting though in a couple of months, I think, where they'll be voting some new board members in.
I'm sure.
All work really hard, and the volunteers, my gosh, they do a heck of a job pulling that thing off. I can't think of another event I've been to that relies on volunteers that's that big and that well put on, you know.
Listen, another event that happened this week, and I will just mention it, and our regrets for none of us on the podcast today were able to make Mini Demo Rochester. We really do need to mention it, because, you know, we are about innovation in the state of Minnesota, and so we don't want to get necessarily trapped in Minneapolis alone, but because of schedules, we weren't able to make it. That went down in Rochester. Was it last night, guys?
It was last night,
yeah. And yep. So from what I can see on the stream, a well-attended event, but it seems like – it looks like was held in somebody's unfinished basement, but it was it looks like it was held at an office being built out. So a lot of drywall and mud, but from what I can tell, enthusiastic crowd.
Yeah, they probably needed a big open space, and they grabbed what they could get. I know my friend Wade Beavers from DoApp was involved in helping organize it, and I'm sure they had a good, strong showing and a bunch of really interesting sounding startups, not all of which are based in Rochester, but most are, I believe. I know one, Do Drinks, is based here, but it's doing some business down there. And the other ones I hadn't really heard much of, Scale Sketch, Fanland, Etail Solutions, QuickTrack Plus, Enable Doc, and Rochester Commons presented a website for the citizens of Rochester, and another one called My Form. So it looks like a good array of maybe consumer and business to business types of startups pitch.
Yeah, that Dude Drinks looks like a good app.
Oh yeah, that lady is a powerhouse.
So you can you can like buy my beer on your phone.
Yeah, it's a cool idea.
And you don't even have to be there.
Right. That's
right. Yeah.
It's a crazy idea.
Now, the interesting piece would be as if you could ask somebody to buy your beer via Duet.
There, now we're talking. Now we're talking. Which is what I did at the happy hour after Mima Summit when searching for drink tickets. Find the board members. They all and they hand them out like candy.
I've always been a fan of Mini Demo and what they've done, and this marks, you know, what, the third Mini Demo, fourth Mini Demo maybe, because there's been at least one in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, then there was one in Duluth earlier this year, and then down in Rochester. So it's nice to see that, you know, Mini Demo is getting out into the other areas of the state. That's great stuff.
It is.
Kudos.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, Ben and Adrian are running it now because Luke moved to Silicon Valley or San Francisco, Luke Francel. So, yeah, I don't know how Ben does it, you know. But they obviously have a lot of volunteers that because Ben's a pretty busy guy with his own businesses and smart things included. He's off to Dublin next week for some conference where he's going to talk about smart things. So he is one busy dude.
And hopefully pick us all up a little Guinness swag while he's
that
there.
Would be nice.
Right.
That would be.
Yeah. Now, one thing I noticed today in the Wall Street Journal was that Best Buy is really taking on Amazon head-to-head with their online pricing this year.
Yeah, I looked at that article, and it is interesting because we'd heard that they were going to do some price matching, and they still haven't necessarily defined what the price matching includes. There may be some brands and some items that are going to be excluded from that, from what the article says. But what do you think? Is it only a price thing, guys?
Well, partially it is, and that would definitely be one barrier that would be good for them to take away. I mean, I think their objective is to try to get fewer people that go into their stores and walk out without buying anything. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys get the blog pitch that I got that what they were trying to buy? Did I tell you this, Phil? They were trying to buy me off with a $100 gift card if I'd blog about it.
Yeah, and I know you ask much more than that.
Right, right. You're a $500 gift card.
Oh,
guy,
yeah.
Right?
Minimum.
Minimum. But
I want a 10-foot wide flat screen, baby.
Then I'll say something nice about you.
Yeah, then I might drop you a tweet. No, yeah. I'll post it. I was going to put it up on my blog because I see it as a positive sign that they have a PR firm, I think, out of Chicago, doing blogger reach out and trying to get bloggers to talk about their newly enhanced stores, one of which is Eden Prairie, I think. And so and they were offering me help if I wanted to blog about it. And they were even going to give me a bunch of $25 gift certificates I could give away to my readers. Or should I say my reader?
Yeah,
right. Well, no, Phil and I both read your blog. So.
Yeah, so you got two. It's not a problem. Yeah.
And there's Steve. Anyway, so occasionally, I thought, Steve does, too.
This is interesting. I think I'm just going to put the pitch up on my blog and say, should I sell out for $100? No. I admire that.
So we figured out that Graham can be bought. It's just at a higher price.
Yes. $100 isn't going to cut it.
My reason for doing it. And speaking of prices, I've got to give a shout out to Mark Schaefer's talk at MEMA Summit on influence and how companies are. Many companies now are coming out with these influence measurement tools, clout being the best known, but it's only one of a bunch. And how much money is being spent trying to measure influence? It's unbelievable, the tools and the seriousness with which brands, in particular big brands, want to be able to measure this stuff. And Mark kind of was my pick as the favorite speaker. His talk on social media power, finding your return on influence, I just thought he knocked it out of the park, and I told him so. And his book, Return on Influence, is one I'm going to march right out and get, I'll tell you that.
There you go.
So, that was another great thing that came out of MEMA Summit.
And Phil, I saw that your carrier Sprint looks like Looks like it's about ready to be bought by a Japanese company.
Yeah, is this the beginning of the end of unlimited data? Could be. Because you know, we all have known that Sprint has struggled over the years being the number three carrier, but you know, it's one of those things that you don't talk about their struggles. You hope that everything will be fine and you'll continue to get this unlimited data. But when you see now a Japanese firm hovering over about, you know, invest or being part of it or buying into it or buying it outright, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the long run.
A majority position, and there's a reason why they're doing it in to get a leg up in Japan, and I forget what that leg up was, that the strategic reason why they needed something Sprint had in Japan. That was their main incentive, I guess.
We'll have to see what happens, but
well,
you know,
it's been an interesting couple of weeks because T-Mobile, who is number four currently, is, you know, trying to break out of that box, and now you've got Sprint doing something different here. So it does seem like there's some movement happening. Now, I'm not sure if we're going to end up with two or three carriers here in the U.S. Hopefully we'll end up with four stronger ones.
Well, I have a feeling we'll end up with three and then eventually two. So, but, you know, you never can tell. But I think we're going to end up with three. That's my thought anyway.
So who's going to be the budget carrier? Will it be Sprint or T-Mobile?
Yeah, the low price leader.
I mean, that's the only place they can go, really. You know, both Sprint and T-Mobile have unlimited data.
Yep.
So that's their hook, and their contracts are lower in price.
You know, I think if I were a guest, I'd say Sprint.
Yeah.
You?
No, I think you're probably right, although you know, it's whoever gets the LTE first, I think, will be the winner.
Oh, you're just going to write off WiMAX, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, WiMAX definitely. That's not looking like a great decision right now.
But damn it, they were first to market with 4G. So
yeah. And that did them a lot of good, didn't it?
Didn't it, though?
So it wouldn't be a Minovate Gang podcast without a Apple products discussion.
Of course.
So, oh, yeah.
So this week, the iPod Nano and the iPod Touch, the 2012 versions of those were shipped, and people got them, and people reviewed them. And it's some interesting things. I mean, you know, generally positive, especially for the iPod Touch, but the Nano, not so much.
Yeah, The Verge review on the iPod Touch, pretty positive, huh?
No, very positive, although they did complain about the price, which, you know, $300 is a, you know, barrier to entry kind of thing. $200 is a much better price point for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can see why they did what they did, but it'll be interesting to see how that sells.
Yeah, the colors are nice, but boy, do people want to pay that much? I probably would for the turquoise, you know. I'm loving the turquoise, you know. Back to the old, remember the old original iMac?
Oh, yeah.
Mine was turquoise.
Well, I'm sure that some people will let us, you know, remind us that they didn't really raise the price. But what they did do is they took the entry-level models out. So they don't have the 8 or the 16 in that new 4-inch size screen.
Yeah.
It started at 32, and that said the $299 model. And they have the, you know, the old previous generation version still for sale for $199. So they do have that entry level, but that's a huge difference in quality of the product. So, it's for an extra $100, you're getting a lot more than just the storage.
Yeah. And it's thin.
Did you guys see the positioning? And you know, being an old radio guy, I always have a soft spot for radio and how it's integrated into new technology. And you know, the FM tuner and the ability to now pause and rewind your radio stations. Ooh. Did you see the positioning that Apple has on that?
No.
They've positioned the radio, an alternative way to listen. It's like, wait a minute. Hold on a minute.
Well, they put the FM tuner in the previous generation Nano, and now they have it in the new one. You know, that is something that adds some value to that kind of device. But I think we're looking at the last Nano. I don't think they're going to continue on past this current generation.
I probably wouldn't disagree with you.
I think what we're going to see is we're going to see a smaller version of the iPod Touch. So something that'll be in that same form factor, but, you know, be a iOS device.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I can see them getting to that $100, $150 price point with something like that in the next year or two.
Sure.
As you were talking, I want to share this with you because it's kind of interesting to me. From a radio standpoint, again, as I look at the how they have it positioned, FM radio keeps you up on what's going on out there, the game, the top news stories, your favorite talk shows, or whatever you love listening to. No mention of music in radio.
Well, wait a minute. FM is not, you know, sports is not necessarily on FM.
Well, it's becoming more and more. But I find it interesting that they're positioning music as an iTunes system.
Yeah.
And that's where you go for your music now is iTunes. And you go to talk on radio. So it's kind of interesting to see the way they've positioned that. But it's kind of interesting to see.
And I guess that one of the things that we had expected to see by now is this rumored iPad mini.
Yeah.
It's still not around. And there's lots of rumors swirling that it will be in the next couple of weeks.
Well, it's pretty well come out that October 23rd is the day now at an auditorium on the Apple campus. There was a story in All Things D and I think GigaOM this morning that it looks like Tuesday the 23rd is the day, and they were questioning whether it can be a big production again, like the last, probably not anything, you know, that big because they wouldn't have had time to pull it off. So, but they've done a lot of announcements at this auditorium. I forget what they call it. So they don't always go to the big Yerba Buena Center in San Francisco.
Yeah. No, but I'll bet what they do is they update the entire line of iPads at the same time.
Ah.
So they're going to put those lightning connectors on them, and that may be all they do, is that they say, oh, by the way, you know, the iPad 2 is still around, and it's still $300 or $400. You know, the new iPad is still $500, and all we've done is we stuck the lightning connector on there.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going to do the iPad mini then? You're saying that, or you're saying they're not going to do that? They're just going to do the lightning connector.
I don't know. They wouldn't call an event to do the lightning connector on old models.
No.
But, I'm not so sure if they're going to do this mini. It looks like they are. All the leaks and everything look very credible. Yeah, there's some pressure on that, on price, and they're losing sales to Nexus 7 and other 7-inch tablets. But I'm not sure if they would get, if they would benefit a lot by having yet another choice.
You're still hoping there's mystery in the Apple announcements and not just proof of all the rumors.
Well, a lot of people are saying
like
now
the iPhone 5 was.
A lot of people are saying that there's it's going to be $299, which I think is too expensive.
I do too.
I think it has to be $249, half the price of the regular iPad. I think that is the highest price they can go.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that way too. But I am hoping they come out with colors. You know, that would be cool. Somebody projected that they were, you know, thought they might be doing that, like they did with the iPod Touches.
Well,
that would add.
They're going to have a black and they're going to have a white one.
Oh, for sure they'll have that, but don't you think they'll have?
No. So they're actually not going to have. They're not going to have colors. They're going to have all colors in one or no colors in one.
That's right. That's right. No, I don't think they're going to have colors, but it would be kind of entertaining if there was. But the supply chain on that kind of thing would be this crazy, I would think.
Well, you would think so. Yeah, and of course all the cases that will have to come out now, and you can always do cool things with collars on your case.
Yeah. Well, maybe they do it. Maybe they do it and don't ship them. You know, like they do the iPods. Maybe they say you can go buy white and black, and maybe the Project Red in stores, and then everything else is a special order.
Yeah, they could.
Work, so.
Yeah. Yeah, but I would never use one without a case on it. I know that. I mean, kids might use iPod Touches, the new colored ones, without cases on them, but The dropsies are just too, it's too much of a chance not to have a case
right.
on something as large as even an iPad mini.
Yeah. I strongly doubt that they're going to do colors, but we'll see. Even if they do it, it would be really hilarious if they didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, if this was all just rumors and it was all like manufactured, including these shots just to throw people off, and then they just go into the holiday season. Nope, this is what we've got.
Yeah. That would, that would not go over well with a lot of people.
It wouldn't, but it'd be hilarious. So we'll have to see if that happens.
Yeah, if they come out on the 23rd and just say, fooled ya.
Yeah. Well, maybe in a couple
have
weeks.
Have a nice Christmas.
I'll be able to say, I told you so.
Yeah.
Although I doubt it. We'll see. So upcoming events, what's coming up?
Well, you know, we haven't mentioned this for a while, but Toastmasters puts on Tech Masters. So check that out. That happens periodically throughout the month, I believe. You might want to take a look at that at techmasters-tc.com. But I just wanted to throw that out there again. Word Up is slated for
tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'm speaking there in the afternoon.
That's right.
Talking about mobile. There's a whole day. It's, it's free. So, hopefully there's still tickets, right?
At the MPTC campus, yes.
Right.
Is this like a new event or?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of kind of, it's an unconference-y thing, sort of like, but it's not affiliated with WordPress like WordCamp is.
Oh, it isn't. Okay.
Yeah, which tend to be more productions WordCamps do. So this is just a local kind of a thing.
Hmm.
To bring together the user group and anyone else that's interested in WordPress.
So it's a free sponsor supported event like most unconferences are, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
I don't know if it was. Well, let me just no $10 cost.
Oh, it's a okay. $10. Well, yeah, right. Yeah, helps cover the drinks and munchies. Yep, good.
So that'll be a good event. What else we got going on? As we look down, Product Camp. Minnesota.
Yeah, I put that one.
Well, you skipped Cheese Geeky, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did skip. I had a little, my little
19th and 20th.
Icon.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Product Camp Minnesota.
On the 20th. Yep.
20th.
That's a big time event. A lot of planning, a lot of work goes into Product Camp. There is a huge group of volunteers that have been working hard on that one. I went to it last year. I can't make it this year, but I was totally impressed with the quality of that event. Breakouts all day long, and anyone that's involved in product management should be there.
Yeah, and that one is free.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Product Camp, yeah.
And
St. Thomas campus. Yep.
Startup weekend slated for November 2nd. It's the fourth event. And then the 13th and 14th of the November MobCon at the Hilton downtown. And don't forget, we do have the discount code for Minovate listeners. So look for that on the website.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I think that's anybody else got anything for the good of the order here?
I can't think of any other events right off the top of my head. So we'll probably think of something later, but it's event season. That's for
sure.
A lot of stuff going on.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up for us, don't you think? Unless you've got something else, Tim.
No. I think we've come in well under the hour that we normally allot for this.
There you go. So we'll see you guys next week on
the Minovate Gang podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
See you
Have
later.
A great weekend.
Where you're going when you don't know where you've been, like the Battle of Culloden or the Wall at Split Berlin. Solidarity or poverty or geography of time, why or who or where and when are questions left behind. History's an option, now it's only just a course. IT and maths and media don't need the Holocaust. Are we there yet? Lest we forget all the souls have come to pass. Dulce et decorum est. Pope Patrimori, what a mess. The scars of lies forever last. History's an option, now it's only just a course. IT and maths and media don't need the Holocaust. An option, now it's only just a course. IT and maths and media don't need the Holocaust.